Sarah Springtime, Frontier Ruckus from Enter the Kingdom on 90.3 KMBA. Peter Mulvey with that same old corduroy shirt. Lucy Dacus, brand new record from Lucy, Next of Kin from her new album Historian, her second release. New writers back there with Henry, Johnny Horton, of course, Springtime in Alaska. And we started out with new music from They Might Be Giants. It is 8:26. It is Springtime. It's the Morning Line program. I'm Danny Preston.
And I'm Frank Scheiflick, and you're tuned into our community on Morning Line. I've got a special guest in the studio, Ethan Pettigrew. Welcome. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Frank.
So Ethan's the executive director of the Kukulent Native Head Start. And so there's this new thing happening with the, well, I guess language immersion has happened for a while, but a new development with this, I've heard about a playground.
Yeah, so obviously, I was here a couple of weeks ago talking about what we're doing with language immersion, and right now we've got UPIC going and collaborating with Alaska Native Heritage Center and Cook Inlet Tribal Council as well. And the other thing you're referring to is our playground, and yes, we're starting a, this summer we'll be building a cultural playground, in both locations, one at our location there at the Chugach Square Mall, and then another smaller playground at the Heritage Center because we have two classrooms out there.
And so the playground will have like local sort of local flavor, right? Not just sort of like American Playground Incorporated, you know.
Thanks for asking that question, Frank. Yeah, it's really important to us, especially as Native people. We all want our values carried on with our children, and many of us want our language and many parts of our culture to pass on and to be carried through with our children. At Kukulent Native Head Start, we want to make sure all of our lessons are geared around the traditional Alaska Native values. And so because of that, and another regulation by the Office of Head Start is what happens in the Head Start classroom. You're supposed to carry that out on the playground. And so if you think about upper grades, it's playground time or recess time is free play. We get to go out and we get to play, and just it's our break from school. In the Head Start world, playground activity is supposed to be an extension of what is happening in the classroom. So at Kukulent Native Head Start, we're all about culture, Alaska Native cultures and language. And so when we go out to our current playground, there's a big disconnect because you're right, it's a Western playground. And kids love to play on it. It's got the typical swings and the little log cabin type structures, things like that. But we're looking at how do we get our kids out there. If we're studying fish camp, for instance, and we're playing that out in the classroom, when we go outside, we should be able to do an extension of that. And so how do we do that in our current playground? And right now it's extremely difficult. So we came up with a solution a few years ago. We've got our grants administrator just raising money like crazy for building this playground, and we're ready to lay it out this summer. It'll be we laugh about it being like a theme park almost. It's tremendously expensive, but we're going to have representation from all of our major cultures in Alaska, our cultural geographic regions. So if you look at like the Heritage Center and how it's set up, in a mini scale, it's very much like that. So we've got a sod house to represent the Unangak and Yupik and Inupiaq and Suchpiaq cultures. We've got a cache with a slide actually coming out that will represent the Athabascan cultures. We've got a southeast plank house. And then we have boat structures, boats in the water, traditional boats in what will be considered water. It won't actually be, it's just different color matting. That will be traditional boats that kids can get in. So there'll be, you know, dugout canoe. There'll be kayaks and umiak-style boats. And then we'll have, in certain areas, there'll be even whales or whale tails in the water. So kids will be able to, we have an area that'll have a net in it that it's actually a climber with corks on the top. So you can do a set net or fish camp there. It's all going to be an extension of what happens in our classroom, which we're all about culture. So we're tremendously excited about it. We've got the other part about this is we've got this working with some artists in the community, and one Philip Charette has created some beautiful panels that will go around the playground on the fences, and they'll actually be facing the artwork will be facing the children, and it's all based on traditional values, but there's also in these beautiful pieces of art, there's always a contemporary piece that puts us right here and now, but also then pushes us into our values and keeps that thread going through time, I guess. So they're beautiful pieces. We want to do like a First Friday. We want to work on something and do an event like that in the beginning of the year, September.
That sounds great. So we'll hear more about that. And you mentioned about extending the classroom into the play area. And is that something that's kind of new or?
Well, it's been it's not new in Head Start. No, Head Start it's been one of their standards for quite some time. And it all makes sense. It's still playtime, and one of the things we need to remember about little guys like that, preschoolers, that's how to play. And think back to when you were a child and all the play you wanted to do. It was all play that was mimicking adult activity, basically, or what we saw our parents do or what we saw our community doing. And so the same thing in that makes sense then when you apply that to in an academic field. And I know people think, well, Head Start kids or little kids should be learning how to write and identify alphabet. And some of that's not developmentally appropriate for kids at that age. And again, I want to say play is extremely important. So if I can go out and play, if I've got an Inupiaq person coming in and teaching, talking about whale hunting, for instance, and presenting to a classroom, they can then take them outside into the playground where there's actually going to be an umiak built out there. They're all fabricated materials, and there'll be a water area that they can pretend they're in water and with whales in it. So they can actually teach the kids this is how we do this type of thing, and then kids, their imagination is huge, and so they can. I remember taking a stick and I had all kinds of toys with that one stick I found on the beach.
right. Yeah, I mean, I remember in grade school with these rusty old seesaws and then some sort of merry-go-round and swings. There's like, that's what we had, and we'd come up with all kind of crazy games. But
yeah,
but I can see how more culturally appropriate it would be with a little boat. We'd be like, oh yeah, now we're cooking.
And the thing we're also doing at on a smaller scale at the Heritage Center. We have two classrooms out there. Our Yupik immersion room is out there, and we have another smaller classroom out there. But we need to provide the same thing, playground. And they've got this tremendously rich environment, you know. Annette Evans-Smith and I collaborating for a long time on immersion and getting this going. So I just want to thank her tremendously, because without her, this could not have happened. So she's a tremendously powerful force in moving this along. And so at the Heritage Center, we also need to provide some type of a playground. They get to go through all the traditional houses. They get access to all of that. The Heritage Center has graciously given us that access. Well, we're going to design a smaller playground out there. And this one is a great concept. It's based on the traditional Dena'ina way of hunting belugas, which they turned, I believe it was a spruce tree, if I'm not right. Please let me know. And it was upside down and then put into the mud, and the men would be on the root of this tree, and that's how they would hunt belugas as they passed by. The tide would rise, and they'd pass by. So our concept at the Heritage Center is actually to have, and again, out of fabricated material, but a series of these trees that are basically upside down with the root system on the top. And then going around this, we're going to have sea mammals from different areas of Alaska. So contribute to the Dena'ina people, because this is their homeland. But also a recognition that there are the other sea mammals from the other regions of Alaska.
I feel like I've seen a painting of that concept, and you see this like person really strong sitting on top of this uprooted tree, waiting for a sea mammal to come by, and you're like, whoa, that's intense.
The museum had a display when they had the Dena'ina a couple of years ago back. They had a Dena'ina display, and they had a whale hunter in a tree like that. Philip Charette has also created a beautiful image for us, and people are going to love it when they see it. But it's one of those panels I talked about that will go on the playground. It has a Dena'ina whale hunter on top of a tree like that, upside down, right out in front of it's the contemporary part of this is right out in front of the modern city of Anchorage. So kind of a statement also, because I believe the Dena'inas were not allowed to continue hunting the beluga in this Cook Inlet. And so there's also a statement there on continuing our native values.
Right. Keep it as a symbol, at least, right?
Yes.
So you were mentioning earlier that so immersion is kind of a developing field, or rather, it's we're working on developing it, right?
Well, for us, I think it is. We're developing, and it's developing all over. Indigenous language immersion, you know, has been big, and the Maoris and the Hawaiians have done wonderful, wonderful work on moving their languages forward in a modern context. And there are groups in North America as well, Native people in Southwest United States, that have done some amazing things with their language as well. It's been long coming for Alaska. And we have to realize all of the past history, what's happened to our languages and why they're at where they're at. But it's extremely important for many of us to be able to revitalize those languages. And so Cook Inlet Native Head Start is our board, our staff is completely dedicated to the revitalization of Alaska Native languages. And so with that, we've started UPIC several years ago and have since collaborated with CITC. Now they're doing UPIC immersion at the baby level. Those kids will come through us. And then working with Doreen Brown and the Anchorage School District, and they're going to be starting immersion in UPIC for kindergarten students next year. So we're extremely happy there's a pipeline for these children to continue in their language. What we're ready at Cook Inlet Native Head Start to do is we're ready to start another language. So I'm basically looking for teachers for next year who can speak, obviously, one of the Alaska Native languages. There are some credentials that we need from folks, though, and that becomes a difficult area.
So which languages are you kind of wanting to focus on?
Well, we've always wanted to focus on Dena'ina because this, again, is their homeland, and we feel that it's out of respect that we want to have their language. We'd love to push their language first. I need teachers with that. And not just merely people who speak the language. This becomes the difficult part for us because of the regulations from the federal government. They require us to have teachers with early childhood degrees that are at the minimum an AA. And so an AA or BA, those become difficult degrees to find amongst native language speakers. So, in my opinion, we need to create a system where we grow our own. And we're taking young high school kids and who are interested in their language and immersing them so they can become fluent in their language at the same time working with them on CDAs and then moving them into AAs and eventually BAs. So we have our own teachers. That's probably a long time off, and it's going to be some collaboration with some major players for a plan like that to happen. Until then, we'll take people with elementary degrees if they can speak the language. We need to have at least two people in a classroom that can have a conversation, because we're not about teaching with the foreign language model. We're about living and communicating with our language and learning our languages the same way we've all grown up learning English or whatever your first language is.
So that sounds like, good luck on that. It sounds like it's a great mission and a little bit of a challenge, perhaps. But I think we'll find people rising to the occasion. And it does sound like you're maybe planning for an even bigger pipeline than that one.
Well, that would be great. The president of my board, John Ross, is very dedicated to language, and I know that he would definitely love to see us doing every single language in Alaska. What, 21 languages? I don't know. I may not be alive when that happens. I think it would be a huge, huge school, which would be a beautiful dream. But it's important, I think, all humor aside, it's important that our languages have avenues for succession, and so that the languages carry on with our children. And it's important because our worldviews are in those languages. They are connected to our land, and without them, we lose a lot of our nativeness. And for a long time, many of us have relied on the speakers that are alive in our communities. But look around, they're fast disappearing. And so it's our job then to pick this, I don't know, I won't call it a battle, but to pick up this cross and bear it, basically, and carry it on, and so that our children have it and that we can keep continuing it. And so that, I feel like it's a part of my job is to provide that for our little children. And so even though my children are all grown now, I am still committed to this, and I want native languages for these kids. So we're ready to start. I mean, we'd love to start Dena'ina, but we're ready to start any Alaska Native. Like I said, we have Yupik language right now, but we're ready to start with another if I can find two teachers for next year for it. So,
it sounds great. And how do people contact you if they're interested in this?
They can Google us on the internet. We're at Cook Inlet Native Head Start. And we're also, they can give us a phone call and find us very easily on the web. And again, we're not Cook Inlet Tribal Council related. We are collaborators with them and partners with them, but we're our own 501c3. We came actually out of South Central Foundation, originally started the Head Start, Cook Inlet Native Head Start, and then spun it off into its own 501c3. So, and again, we received tribal designation through Siri Corporation.
So that's an important way to differentiate. Well, how do I get a hold of them? Aha!
There you go.
Well, hey, thank you so much for coming today and carrying on the cause.
Thank you. You have a good day.
Okay, thanks very much, Ethan Pettigrew, for sharing great information about a very novel program. And thank you, Frank Scheithlick, 8:43 with Fleetwood Mac ahead.
Schools for Native American students are among those considering ways to keep kids safe. The recent nationwide student walkouts shine a light on the seemingly intractable issue of gun violence in schools. On the next Native America Calling, we'll talk about the latest ideas for school safety and why it's not as easy as arming teachers or banning certain guns.